Welcome back to Such Fun, a podcast devoted to the discussion, education, and celebration of all things fisting. I am Big Butt Geek, and you are?
Hallelujah, I'm Jasmataz.
Woo, we're going to have fun with two Fs. Woo.
Can I have three? Four?
No. No, none for you. No.
I want to start practicing for three again. Oh my God, I'd love to take a triple.
Do
Is
you?
That crazy? Oh. Are we just fucking... Yes, we are crazy. We're fucking crazy.
I did try and do a triple on you, if you remember.
You tried to do a triple on me.
But yeah, you were very baked.
But you don't have three hands.
There was someone else there, if you remember. You don't remember. You were out of it.
Did you have my consent, at least?
Well, in the moment, but if you don't remember the consent, I don't know if it counts.
Oh my God, that's a tricky one. Can you truly give consent if you don't remember that you did?
Yeah, I've been involved in a few triples, and it's kind of hot watching the bottom's face, but in terms of the logistics of it, it is very like, we're doing pantomime here, we're doing theatrics. We're doing glove puppetry. It's not...
Yeah, it's circus work.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a... It's not a natural thing to be doing. That sounds weird. No, I don't... Look, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the most flowy, organic way of fisting. It's very like, you go here and you do... Go in through the... You know, it's not like, oh yeah, baby, just go. Just fucking do it. It's not that.
You're
it's
right.
Like, it's yeah, like... hang on. Yeah.
Well, it's like...
It's very anatomical.
It's you can equate it with double. Like, it's a scale. Like, one hand starts to feel like the most natural thing, and two hands is like, oh, it can feel natural, but it's also a lot of technical work. And triple is, like, much, like, an extra factor of work.
It's the Olympics. It's like, sure. You're doing your little 5K run of a day, and then there's the Olympics, and that's triple. This isn't the topic. What's the topic for today?
Can we not idolize people that take triple. Jesus Christ. I'm on an anarchistic journey since last week. I'm trying to see everybody as equal. Like Prince fucking Charles as
well.
Equal.
The week before that you're on a fitness journey, so I can't keep up.
Oh, I take lots of journeys these days. Speaking of, we took a journey recently to America. And
yes, you just said all about it, yeah.
And we got to Chicago and stayed with our good friend Greasy 20. And we have been talking over a number of years and various meetings about, you know, things that resonate for all of us about fisting. We, of course, wanted you to come on the show all this time. And finally, you are here on the show. So welcome, Greasy 20. It is great to finally have you.
Well, thank you so much.
Hello.
So you're calling in from Chicago. Tell us...
Absolutely. Yeah, calling in from Chicago today.
By the way, let's preface this by you've never listened to us. You're not a fan of us.
You're the anti-fan.
You don't really care for us that much. It's
anti-fan with a double F.
Again, you're correct. No, I've never listened, but I've never listened to any podcast. It is not my preferred medium of, you know, media consumption. So, but I do appreciate having you guys on. And of course, I love getting to know both of you behind the podcast, getting to know who the people are that run this wonderful thing that you guys have out here. Yeah. So thank you so very much, you know, for having me on.
So how did we both meet you? Because if this is the thing, it's like, and I feel this with a lot of Chicago people in particular, it's like, oh, I've known you guys for years. And actually it's like, I've known you online for years because we've been all at one point or another been sort of Twitter sluts. So we've all kind of connected through that way. And then obviously more recent years we've met in the flesh. But tell us from your perspective how you met both of us.
I mean, you drew me like one of your French girls, I think. It was
on a sinking ship.
It was on Twitter. It was obviously on Twitter, which was something that I started years ago, mainly because I couldn't find anybody. I was having a hard time on apps, finding people to play with, finding all of that. And somebody said, you should really try Twitter. And I was like, sure, why not? Why don't we take a look at it and see what happens? And I met so many people off of it. And I think it's funny that like through that and through our buttholes, we've met all these people all over the world, all over the country, that we share this common thing with. And Twitter really has been a great place for it. I don't know of any other kind of like social media where you can kind of do that. with it. So I think online first, I knew you was there, you know, from there too, of course, in Jazzmatazz as well. But I think the first time I met in person was when you guys stayed with me.
I think that's true, yeah.
Had we met?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we met at Darklands.
Because I couldn't remember if I'd seen you in... Well, we had seen each other at Darklands, but had you stayed with me first?
No, I met you.
And then we saw each other at Darklands? I couldn't remember.
Now I remember.
No, no, it was Darklands first.
We met you. I met you in the smoking room at Darklands, and I recognized you immediately. I was like, that's him. That's the guy. I'm going to go and bum a cigarette from him.
And now we know, where else would he be but the smoking area? That's perfect.
It seems fitting.
And we hit it off immediately, right? I think we all...
So we did meet in person first before then you...
Correct.
You came up to me in the sling area.
Yeah.
I remember that. Because I remember someone was talking to me. Very, very nice guy. And I could see you in the corner of my eye. And you were like patiently waiting your turn to talk to me. And I was very much like... You seem sweet, but really, this needs to wrap up, and I need to go talk to this guy because I've been fawning over him for years online. So this needs to just, you know. And then you patiently waited at the corner for me to finish my conversation.
So one of you saw me in the sling, and one of you saw me in the smoking room. That it does that. That kind of, you know, hits the nail on the head a little bit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, and you guys have come over twice now and stayed with me and. That was a great trip last time.
And it's been so, yeah, it's been so nice. Just your beautiful place, and you're so relaxed and so welcoming. And like...
And your adorable cat.
And your adorable cat, who doesn't like me.
Aww.
But likes BBG, so it says something about...
I give big puss energy.
You do. Oh, you absolutely do. So let's get straight to it. We have a topic that's pretty important to all of us, I think, to talk about on this episode, and that is etiquette, or I think as BBG pronounces it, etiquette.
Etiquette?
Etiquette.
I'm not Cockney. I don't really know where that came from. Doing etiquette, bruv.
I don't know the first thing about etiquette.
So etiquette around...
Etiquette about fisting.
Etiquette, yeah.
Etiquette.
Obviously.
I was watching an episode of The Boys last night, and it had the worst fake British accent I've ever heard in my life. It was Dick Van Dyke. Like, hello, mate. Well, me nephew. Like, no one fucking talks like this. I don't know where you... Just do the Queen's English. If you don't know what to do, just speak like the Queen. At least... anyway, sorry. Carry on.
I mean, wait. If you're going to talk Mary Poppins for a second, I'm going to talk Titanic, because we had the bit about drawing me like one of your French girls. And I just remembered that last night when I got home from the fisting party I was at, I wasn't quite tired yet. So I put on my laptop and went on YouTube, and I have an obsession with Celine Dion lately. And so I put on her like music video from 1997. With the release of Titanic, of My Heart Will Go On. She was so beautiful. She was 29 when she recorded that song, and her voice was
really
fucking yeah. You look at the video clip of it. She looks in her 20s.
She was older.
She looks in it. We were just so young at that point.
I don't remember the video at all.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's like Wind Machine. She's on the fake stern of the ship, in a white dress, like sultry as all fuck. And you're like, yeah, but it's Celine Dion. She's not... what? And it's this sexy young lady, and she's probably just won Eurovision the year before or some bullshit.
You know what your problem is? You just hate women, and you just don't like to see women succeed.
No, that's what it is. Absolutely not it.
You don't like to see them thrive on a sinking ship.
I think her voice makes me cry. Like, there is a deep, deep respect. We're gonna get to respect tonight in this etiquette talk. There's my next segue.
I was watching The Crown, actually, the other day, and I was uncontrollably crying.
Because the Queen died?
No, because Diana died.
Oh, that's acceptable to cry, yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. Thanks for ruining that storyline.
I know, it's, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
But the thing is, though, I think it's because you know it's happening. It just makes everything more sad as well. You're like, oh, come on, when's it coming? When's it happening? And every moment you're like, oh, it's her last. Oh, no. It's like, don't worry, my darling boys. I'll see you soon. Like, you won't. You won't.
And do they edge you for like more episodes than they should?
Oh God, they've been edging us for like 3 years for this. Yeah.
I've never been like super into the royals except for her. I remember like but I was very young when she died, and I remember bawling my eyes out, like, because Princess Di had died. It was like, it was a big thing over here too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not even like I'm not a royalist, but I find a lot of people that aren't royalists like really love it, because it's, you know, like a trailer, you think, oh God, the prestige and the history, and actually you watch it, it's like, these people are terrible. They're just, it's all just desperately trying to hold on to any significance. It's every time they're close to being like voted out, you know, people going like, actually, do we need it? It's like, okay, time to reinvent ourselves. It's like, you know, like all the charity work they do now, that's a recent thing. It's only because people weren't comfortable with you just lording it over everything. Now it's like, oh, we have to be seen to be doing things to earn our keep. Like, look at this thing and move on, that thing. But that's very new. That's a very new thing at all. And a lot of that's from Diana.
Right. I knew that already. Hey, at least it's happening. It's kind of, yeah, it's great. It's great. Otherwise, they should have all been beheaded.
Yeah. So, etiquette.
Etiquette.
I really wanted, we wanted to have you on for quite a while, Grease 20, because I think you're one of the most articulate people that we know in terms of physics. Like, you're obviously very experienced, you've been at this a long time, but you have a very good way of explaining things and associating analogy to things as well,
and terminology, defined terminology in this,
and affirmations as well. So we could have had you on for a variety of things, but I thought this is a good one.
We saw you at FistFest a couple of months ago, and you did you lead that panel, or were you, because it seemed like you were leading that panel, that douching panel discussion.
One of the organizers came to me a week or two before and said, we'd really love you to do a panel discussion, would you moderate the discussion on cleaning out? And I said, sure. And they said, I'm really, like, we'll give you some questions to kind of run through, but you just kind of have to keep the conversation moving. And I'd never done it before. I had never led anything like that, talked about it, done anything on this. But this is actually, it is my career too, which is kind of interesting. I'm a training manager by default. I train people in their jobs, in their businesses, and all of that. So I'm very comfortable being up in front of a room. I've just never done it before as far as a fisting topic or anything, but it was enjoyable. I had a good time with it. And I was going to say that I think it's...
Well, you were really good at it.
Well, thank you.
So one of the things, our most recent visit with you, you were very kind enough to host a little fist gathering of yours, which is very lovely. I realize now I was definitely coming down with an illness at the time, because then I got fully sick by the time I got to Fort Lauderdale.
Great.
That was cute. Hope I didn't infect anyone. But I realized that I've never actually really hosted, other than like 2-3 people, I've never really hosted a fist party before. So I think that's a good place to start in terms of our conversation of etiquette. So what's kind of the rules and kind of the setup for you in throwing any kind of like fist gathering, particularly in your own home? What are the do's and don'ts for people?
And you know, it's interesting too with this. And I wanted to say earlier that I am honored to be on, especially for this topic, because you called it etiquette. Jazz called it code of conduct. Mm. So when we were having a conversation before, he was saying kind of code of conduct. And you had mentioned me something about etiquette, and it wasn't until I asked him, oh, you know, Big Butt saying he wants to have a conversation about etiquette, is this the same kind of thing that you were talking about with code of conduct? And he goes, oh yeah, I think it is. And it's like, how, not only do you host something, but how are you a guest at a party too? But I was really honored to be on for this topic. I'll tell you why. My nickname is Martha Stirrups, because I am known... I am the Martha Stewart of the fisting world, and somebody, while I was in a sling, nicknamed me Martha Stirrups years ago. And so that is, you'll hear people call me Martha out and about sometimes. And it's because I generally have some tips and tricks about fisting, about how to set things up, about what is good, and like, or like what kind of things to have with you. So we don't have to say it around here for most of the people that, like I said, I'm around with, and I have no problem with it, but drugs are a no at our parties. We, like weed and cocktails are kind of our jam. That's what we want to do. And so we don't even have to worry about that most of the time. We don't have to have a discussion of it. I think if you are going to, or if you're going to be at a party where that's going to be happening, let's like let somebody know, like know where you are, know how to get home, let somebody in.
I think like at this point, I think to kind of give it a bit more of a frame, I was thinking about, like, what is the purpose of etiquette? Because, and I think a reason why says the word etiquette, it's not because of his accent, it's the word actually just kind of irks me, because when I think of etiquette, I think back to high school days and directly before my school formal, like, which is like an Australian version of the prom. There was a lady that came in and explained to my year level how etiquette works in a dining hall or like a restaurant. Like, you've got multiple courses, and so you take the knives and forks from the outside in, going you know, through to the different courses of food, and how to lay your napkin and how to slurp how to drink your soup without it slurping and all that kind of stuff. And
this is also what Celine Dion had to learn when she was on the Titanic.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What? Okay, great. All right, so I never understood, like, the Celine Dion of it all, you know? I was just like, why?
The Celine Dion of it all.
Why? Like, why do I have to take the smallest knives and forks to eat the entree, you know? And when I convert, like, when I think about etiquette and fisting, I like, you talk about wiping the bottom up, and I think that's something that I often forget to do, and it's not malicious. It's just I'm a forgetful person in that moment after I've finished fisting someone. But also I've wondered, like, why do...
Because you've seen the cosmic fish. And
well, exactly. Even as a top.
You're fistmatized. You're not thinking clearly.
Quite right. But I think the thing that got me to understanding, okay, what, like, why is etiquette actually important? It's a big... It's because it enables safety and relaxation, among probably other things, right? And this is something that my chat with you, Greasy, last week really helped solidify for me. It's like, why etiquette? It's not just a set of rules because of social norms, like adhering to social norms. There's actually a purpose that's deeper than that.
I think that goes back to why I said, when you said it first, it was code of conduct.
Exactly.
And Big BBG said etiquette. You had a kind of not negative connotation with, like, etiquette. But what you were saying to me when we were having the conversation was, how do you act at these things? Or, like, how, like, what are some things? And I think, like you said, like the etiquette and the code, there are certain sort of unspoken rules. And when you can do that, and you know that you're in a safe space to play and to be yourself and to relax, you're gonna have more fun. You're gonna do all of that. So, like, I think, yeah. And, you know, there's responsibility on both sides of that too. Like, you have to be your own advocate, but you also have to do... But you also have to, you know, you have to be a good host, and you have to be a good guest too. It goes on both sides of it. So, like, you giggle about the wiping your bottom up thing. And we used to joke that that was a very Midwest thing, that we would always, like, hang on a second, let me wipe you up. And it really didn't come from anything other than, I just don't want you to drip lube on my floors. I've got nice hardwood floors. And if you get lube on that and step on it, you're going down, and it's going to be impossible to get it off of the floor. So,
exactly.
Like, it's a kindness, but it's also a selfish thing.
Yeah.
I was taught it really early on to wipe your dad. That was just sort of drilled into me very early days. So I always do it. And I'll often come across a bum that's like, oh my God, thank you. That was so nice. I'm like, that's just like saying bless you.
Well,
when you sneeze, it's like, you know, to me, it's just so ingrained that that's just good manners.
But and that's
if you're a top, you wipe them down.
But that's the difference I'm talking about. Like, saying bless you after someone sneezes is completely arbitrary, completely obsolete.
Well, yeah, it makes more sense than bless you. Yeah.
Well, it does make more sense.
I'm trying to think of a better analogy. I don't know. It's like taking someone to hospital if they've had a stroke. It's just what you do.
Well, that's a very interesting thing that you raise, because this is the thing that got me thinking about the code of conduct in the first place. I've heard stories. I hate it when I have to start a sentence with I've heard stories, but of people, especially in Berlin, who are high and fisting, who have rather kicked somebody out of their apartment for overdosing then called an ambulance and risked the ambulance notifying the police that they're high and whatever and risk, you know, getting into trouble. So completely shirking their responsibility.
Well, that's what you call a bad guest. That's example of a bad party. Absolutely. Party host.
Yeah. And this is where etiquette really, really becomes so integral. You know, when it comes to a person's safety when they're fisting, never mind, you know, their relaxation.
This actually happened recently. I wasn't here for it, but it happened with our friends, and somebody, he had taken a Viagra and he had taken too many poppers, and then he started bleeding when he was bottoming, and it was sort of like, okay, what do? We need to get him out of here. All of them cleaned up. All four of them drove him to the ER. They sat down and talked to the doctors and they said, tell us what's going on. We had been drinking cocktails. He took an edible about an hour ago. We've been drinking a few drinks. He took a Viagra. We were doing poppers. Like, all of them were there giving the information so that the medical professionals can fucking do what they need to do. And like, all four of them don't need to go, but somebody should. Like, or somebody should at least like let know like what's going on there.
And after something that like that has happened, chances are you're not really in the mood to keep fisting anyway. So you might as well stick with your friends and go and sit out the hospital stay together.
I don't know. I know some people that be like, all right, well, you're all right on your own. And we're just going to carry on. Like, I can just see that scenario.
And there might be context where that is appropriate.
Maybe I just know some awful people.
I don't know.
So Gracie, what do you think makes a good guest at a home fist party? When you're entertaining at home, what makes a good guest?
What makes a good guest? I mean, that's it's a good question. Being respectful of the space, being respectful of the people who are there playing, like knowing, honestly, some cleaning up your bottom. so they don't drip lube everywhere. No, but like I said, offer, like if you're coming over to somebody's house, offer to bring something with them. Also, like, I can't speak for every party because ours are different. We usually have a social hour where we have a cocktail and we'll hang out for a minute and have a smoke. But like, some people might want to just come in and get into their gear and just start playing. And that's that kind of a party. That's, you know, I can't speak to all of them necessarily, right? I don't usually go, or I'm not usually invited to something where I don't know anybody there.
Offering to clean up, not just your bottom, but I always think like offering to like help with the cleanup, like when it's done, or the takedown as well. I always think that's very good manners.
Absolutely. I don't usually set an end time, but there usually seems to be like a point where everyone's like, okay, we should kind of be wrapping up. You know, we're kind of tired. We want to get home. We want to get going out.
You mentioned a core principle in this, which is advocating for yourself. So that means, sometimes that might mean giving active consent for things. It might mean even risking being a bossy bottom, or maybe not that extreme a version.
Bossy bottoms make great tops.
Well, that's true, but... advocating for yourself, being telling what you want when it occurs to you that you want something different, to feel free to say that. I think that belongs in a kind of code of conduct. I feel like that is etiquette as well, because you are helping in that instance. You're helping your top to maximize your pleasure and achieve the goal together. So, and the opposite of that being, of course, not trusting yourself to say something when you have something to say. Like, if you don't like the way he's moving inside you, tell him that. Tell him to change something. Like, don't just say, don't do this. Maybe come to him with an alternative. Let's pause for a second. I just want you to stop for a bit and maybe we just connect. Maybe we cuddle a bit and things, you know, my feeling will change. But to be able to say that, I think, is something that we as fisters, for us, it is necessary for a good fisting session.
Being comfortable enough to say, hey, I'm not loving this right now, or could you try going deep? I don't really want to do wide. I don't care for punching right now. Could you keep it steady and firm? Or like just giving a little bit of feedback. But here's the trick. You also, when you're topping, need to be receptive to feedback.
Hallelujah.
And know that, like, if you get it, it doesn't mean that they're not, like, you're both trying to make the experience good for each other, right? And so I think, you know, I hear what you're saying, too, about you know, when you're out at a public thing too, it might not be a little bit more difficult to speak up, but practice makes perfect. If you're not going to speak up about it in a private setting, you won't say it. And like, this is how people get hurt. This is how people get hemis. This is how people get fissures, because they don't stop somebody who's really into it. And they like, oh, they're supposed to be this great top. He's so sexy. Well, great. But if he's not fisting you the way you like to, you're going to end up hurting yourself and not enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, and I wish I do. And I've said this before. I honestly wish that I could be the boy that can top up in a sling, take it from anybody, any which way, and just like, you know, go hog wild with it. I can't. I'm not incredibly picky, but there's a certain way to like pop me open. There's a certain way of a rhythm. There's a connection, something like, I don't know, but like, there's a certain way to do it. And I think that comes from me learning my body. First of all, me learning how to tell people about my body and like, say this, what you're doing here, that doesn't feel good because you're hitting this part, like know yourself, right, with it. But yeah, like, don't be afraid to give the feedback with it. And don't be afraid to take the feedback either. And even, I mean, most of the time, even in a public setting or somebody that maybe you haven't played with in a while, just remind me about your hole. What do you like? What don't you like? What mood is it in today? Like, I know you can normally take an elbow, but is your depth, oh no, my depth's feeling a little tender right now. Can we keep it wide instead? Great. Now I know where to go with
yeah.
this. Like, or sometimes they might just say, go and have fun. See what it does. Like, and I've said that before too. Splash around. See, like, I don't know what I'm in the mood for right now.
Yeah.
See what she'll do back there.
There's so many places we could go with this, I feel.
So how do we as fisters navigate more public settings as well? What are the rules when you're at something like Darklands? Or like a one night fist? I mean, you said, you know, you went to the Mafia night recently in Chicago, like, obviously that's a mix of people you know, but of people you don't. How do we engage in this kink in these more public settings?
I think, a big part of it is like, if you want to play with somebody, go ask, go do it. Don't be shy with it. It's easier said than done. I hate when somebody comes up and like, oh, I wish I could have talked to you, but you looked so busy. Yeah. We're all busy and we're all here for the same reason. And I'm busy because other people are coming up to me just like you are, saying hi. And they might be my friend. They might be somebody I don't know, but like, come make me be busy. Like, come say hi to me. Come, you know, come talk to the person that you want to talk to.
Yeah.
Like, these events and all of that, we're all here for a reason, because we love butt play, yeah. right? We all want hands and butts, period. So like, Fist Fest is, you know,
it always saddens me. I got after Darklands, I got after Fist Fest. You get the messages of like, hey, I saw you there, but I didn't. I'm like, oh, you. And quite often it's someone who's like faceless, or like, so I don't connect the face to, you know, whatever gorgeous body or butt that was walking around. So, oh, I was there. Like, well, I don't know what your face looks like. I don't. but you know, you have the benefit. You know what my face looks like, and this annoying voice. So, you know, you can pick me out of a crowd. So like, well, why don't you say hello? They go, oh, well, I just, you see, you're with people. I didn't want to say anything. Well, come interrupt it. I don't care. As long as I'm not in mid-play, like, you can happily, you know, interrupt my small talk. Because closed mouths don't get fed.
Mid-play. And I was just going to say that. Yeah, mid-play.
Speaking of being in mid-play, we're going to take a break and listen to some sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Kink 3D.
Chastity has exploded in popularity in the past few years, and Kink 3D is a huge part of that. They're the company behind the Cobra, the distinctive slick black and pink cages that are all over your Twitter feeds.
It used to be that Chastity came in a few pre-made sizes. Kink 3D changed the game by making it possible for just about anyone to be locked up comfortably without the need for custom ordering. They have a huge range of sizes with over 15 options for the cage. So it doesn't matter if your cock is big or small, thick or skinny, they can find the right fit for you. Kink 3D's 3D printed cages are discreet, so you can wear it at work, and also incredibly lightweight and durable, so you can wear it at the gym, running, hiking, or just about anything else you like to do.
Plus, if you've been curious about caging or upgrading your device, the new year is a great time to start. Kink 3D has a limited time offer where you can get a free bottle of their special cage cream, their collab with Leather Daddy, when you order a new Cobra Chastity kit to make locking up even more frictionless. Just go to kink3d.com/fun to set yourself up with a new cage. That's K-I-N-K, then the number 3, then the letter D.com/FFUN. That's double fun.
Kink3D has all the info you'll need and some of the best customer service out there. You can also follow them online on Twitter and Reddit, where you can see people of all different shapes and sizes showing off while being locked. So check out kink3d.com and see for yourself why they are the hottest name in chastity.
So, Hunger FF of Hungerisms. What does a typical play session with you look like?
I think a typical play session with me looks like what it would look like with most other fisters. It's like, it's really, like, if I'm not filming, it's very much like me and my playmate, like I have a regular weekly playmate that comes over, like, on Wednesdays, and he'll come over and, like, we'll just, like, hang out for a little bit first, and we'll have, like, some Red Bulls or something, and, like, basically just kind of shoot the shit for a little while, and then we play, and I usually flip only, like, twice. Like, I'll do, like, all bottom, then hill bottom, then all bottom, then hill bottom, and then we're kind of done after that. And so it's usually, by that point in the day, I'm pretty fucking hungry, so, like, I usually want to take a break and eat something anyway, so that's usually kind of when it stops. But there, I don't play for very long. Like, people ask me, like, how to have longer sessions or whatever. And I really feel like satisfied after like maybe like an hour of play. Like, I don't really feel like I need to play for hours and hours. Like, it's just like one good session. Like, once I've gotten off, I'm good for like a little while. So I feel like that's pretty normal. There's like this expectation that porn stars have this insane sex life that is like, you know, that it looks like what it looks like on the internet all the time, which for me, it mostly does, but it's like my videos are also very reflective of like normal fisting. I feel like they're not like, there's no like, there's a lot of normalcy to the videos. There's like the warm up, the cleanup. It always ends with somebody saying, I need a break. And that's just how it is in normal life for me too. It's like, I am the same way in real life that I am on videos. So, yeah, it's pretty chill and low key, I would describe it as.
That's the thing I love the most about your videos, is there's so much laughing and conversation, and yeah, Everything's just real.
Yeah. And that's kind of the whole point, is that my whole, like, if I had a mission statement, it's just to kind of like, basically, no matter what your sex life looks like, it is valid. Like, it is good. It is fine the way that it is. Like, it doesn't have to be porn sex. It doesn't have to be balls to the wall 100% from the beginning. Like, it can be, there can be warm up, there can be accidents, there can be slips and falls, there can be, you know, like, oh, I think you need a touch up or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like that type of thing happens in everybody's life. So I feel like it's important to show people that like your sex life is just like mine. So it's like, that's why I keep all that stuff.
And we're back. So we were mid play. Please continue.
Can I tell you one of my big etiquette things that I just think... I don't know if it's as ingrained in other people as it is in me, but I was always taught, like, just if, you know, if your top or your bottom's doing a good job, tell them. Like, you know, not just in the minute, like, yeah, it's really hot, baby, but, you know, all that crap, which we do. But, like you know, when you've come back down to this, you know, this mortal realm again, you know... you know, the moment's gone, but just be like, hey, that was really good, or I really love this thing that you did, or whatever, or that was really I love doing that, or oh, you know, you're really sexy when you did this thing, whatever. I don't think we do enough of that as well. Like, I'm always very I love feedback as well. I think there's always stuff to learn, always. I love when a top goes like, oh, but I, you know, I really loved your bar. You really, you know, not just in the moment, but like, yeah, it was really fun. Cause I'm always conscious of like, ah, but my butt can't do what this guy's butt does, or what, all this crap that gets in our heads as well. So these little kind of nuggets of, I was going to say reassurance, not reassurance, just little compliments as well. I think they go a long way. And I think we all need to kind of get in the habit of doing that as well, which I think a lot of people are not maliciously, but I think especially when you're in a public setting as well, it's a very much like, yeah, cool, that was fun, you know, and then you move on to the next thing. Yeah, gotta run, gotta do that. It's like, oh, okay, cool, you know. It just feels a little, I don't know, like, you know, yeah, in the moment it's like, oh yeah, it's all hot and great, but have like a real kind of moment with me, like after, be like, yeah, that was, I really enjoyed that, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not sure if I fully agree with you. I'm not sure if I fully agree with you about that. again, the context is decisive. So if you're playing at Fyst Fest, and we do all have, you know, a lot of people we want to play with, without making a schedule about it, I fisted a lot of guys there that I had half an hour, an hour with them. And in that moment, they were giving me plenty of feedback that I was doing an amazing job while it was happening. And that was very satisfying. And when it was over and when we were coming down, there may have been very little talk after it, or very little cuddling, or maybe none at all. And, you know, just a, that was fucking amazing, and I'm going to go and chill out over here, or I'm going to have a douche or play with somebody else or whatever. And I think that that acknowledgement of a great time can exist in the time itself. Of course, it's nice and it's courteous to hang around and to restate your... Yeah, well, to re-acknowledge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get it in the session, definitely. But sometimes people are just like, oh, yeah, oh, fuck, yeah. It's just like, it's not really, you know? Like, you know, it's not quite communication, you know what I mean?
People express themselves in all sorts of different ways. I actually, when I'm getting fisted, I say, oh, fuck, yeah, a lot. And I can't help it. I'm sorry.
You're very chatty. You're a very chatty cat. Chatty Cathy.
But speaking of chatty, let's let our guest respond.
I mean, it's actually interesting you mentioned that, because I know this about myself, is that I am not terribly verbal as a top or a bottom. I'm not usually. Like, I have, you've called my greasyisms. I do have a few things I'll say here and there, like, but I don't consider myself to be very verbal, and I may not necessarily, like, give you the go-aheads. So, and I will have that conversation sometimes ahead of time, especially if it's a person I don't know very well. And I might say to them, just so you know, I'm not terribly verbal. Like, I might grunt and moan. Unless I tell you you're doing something wrong, assume what you're doing is a good job. Like, and that, I mean, that's kind of helps keep headspace or whatever else. But then, like, you know, that if you don't know me, don't know that I pull funny faces and that I will make a weird noise or push at a certain spot. Unless I tell you, like, that you're not doing something right, you can kind of keep going with it. But I think that all goes back to just, like, keeping communication lines open, too. And, like again, knowing yourself. And, like, because somebody called me out one time. They said, I can't even tell if you're enjoying this. You're absolutely not even, like, yeah, you're not saying anything. And I'm like, I'm not saying anything. That means I'm enjoying it. Like, but I didn't realize that it was perceived differently by other people.
Well, you have to learn how a person communicates. So I'm sure, like, over the times that I've fisted with you, I've gotten to certainly I've come to know that you are not very verbal. And I also know that if I do check in with you, which I like to do a lot when I'm topping, specifically to just ask, are you happy? Are you happy, Piggy? And your response is always like 2 or 3 seconds of silence and then like, yeah. You have like this kind of low growl that comes up, and that's enough for me, and then I'm on my way, I'm good, you know. And these are the things, this is why fisting multiple times with the same person is always very helpful.
It's like owning your own skis versus renting them. Like, when you own them, you can figure out the curves and, like, know how to, like, you just play with them a little bit more and get to know it. Yeah, like, and I think that is important too. Like, also, we are lucky that we have a group of people here, like I said, that we're all very close and we do get to know each other. But, like, knowing your own body too, and I can't really stress that enough, like, knowing yourself too, and what it is that you like and what it is that you do not like, and what causes you to push or what causes you to feel like when they hit this one thing, it's like, okay, what are they really doing there? Let me figure out, like, you know, I need to change this. Or does that actually feel good? Did I think it didn't? And now it actually does feel good. Am I confusing that? But knowing yourself, knowing how to ask for it too.
It seems to me like as you get to know a person more and their body, meaning the more you've fisted with them. Sorry, I'm still back on that previous thought. I think it relates back to what you were talking about though. Certain etiquette rules can fall away comfortably because we're already feeling safe with people that we know. And so maybe something more practical like cleaning your bottom up still applies, but something like, checking in or
I think this,
being on the gentler side when I'm playing is not necessarily valid anymore, because I know your butthole. I know where you are. I know what it can do. I might be more willing to take risks, knowing that I'm within a safe zone. Like, I'm not going to send you to hospital. Yeah. Because I know your butt well enough.
Yeah, and I think, like, people that you do play with enough, like, I would say, like, the people that I'm closest with can push me pretty far. And I think, like, you know, like, event in public spaces are not the time to make progress. Like, that's not the time to, like, that's not the time to try to, like, go for things that you've never done. Like, use that, like, use your friends or, like, yeah. Your closer partners, like, to try all of those things. Like, when you go to events, be comfortable with, like, where you're, kind of what your limits are. And say, like, stop yourself for it. Like, progress is not necessarily always made at events. Although, I actually take that back. I don't know. Then you get a vent hole, and, like, the endorphins take over. And it's like, all of a sudden, you've never taken a double, and you can't take a double at home. But when you're at that event,
yes.
God damn it, you sure are. Like, you get that Sunday hole, and there it is.
Become a show pony. Some people have show pony hole.
Show pony hole, love that.
A show pony, exactly.
Yeah.
No, but, you know... Yeah, I think that, yeah, I agree with you that, like, the people that you do know, you can have that connection. And that's not to say that I haven't had wonderful connections with people I've met for the very first time who, for some reason, we have connected. And, like, they read everything. Either I was topping or bottoming, it doesn't matter. But, like, I was able to read them. They were able to read me. The connection was there. And it was just, like, you stand up from it going, my God, where have you been all my life? Or you are the exact kind of fister that I like to play with. And I kind of like to say there aren't bad fisters. There are just people who fist in a style that I don't prefer. Like, I don't want to be unkind and say, like, there are bad fisters out in the world. But most of the time, it's just, like, it's easier to say maybe they're just doing it the way I don't prefer.
I want to throw it open now to some of the feedback we've had on Twitter. I'm not calling it X. I refuse. Yes. Yes. So I'm just going to read it. So put it to Twitter. What do you think is some of the most important etiquette to remember in fisting? So that's it's kind of took off this question. Deep enemy of the pod, Falcon Punch. God, fuck her. No. lube etiquette. Don't get lube all over my legs/feet. Don't smear lube all over my ass cheeks. I really like doing that. Okay, that's interesting. I don't know. I get quite... Because I just love ass. So I'm just like, ugh. So if you've got a big fat ass, I'm going to like...
Glaze it.
Smear
you
it
You got to glaze it.
But yeah. Yeah, I... Okay, so... okay, maybe good idea to check with the bottom if they're okay with that. So I take that on board. Don't waste my lube.
That's what I was going to say with that. Like... And again, I know... Because I know I'm aware of this, and I know that this is a thing that some people don't like to be touched with lubey hands, and some people don't mind. So, like, I will tell my top, like, I like to be touched. You can touch my stomach. You can touch my, you can reach around. I don't care if you get lube on me, because I don't care if you get lube on me. Like, that's fine. And then there are other people who are, as I'm topping, is it okay if I put my hand here? Or, like, is it all right if I wrap? Or, like, you know, before I might smear lube on their gear or on somewhere else.
Yeah. He writes, lube is a precious commodity. Yeah. I don't know what that means. Are you poor? Falcon Punch, are you poor? Can you not afford lube?
Fisting lube is remarkably cheap.
The stuff we're using, it makes liters of it.
It is remarkably cheap, but here's what... No, but here's what he means by that. You're at somewhere... Oh. You're at, like, Steamworks Chicago, who checks your bag when you go in, and you're allowed 5 items... And one of those items is your lube bottle. One of those items is your wallet. One of those items is your phone. So if you can only bring in one pre-made bottle of lube, what he's saying is it's a precious commodity because he wants to go all night at an event where he can't make more lube and he can't bring in more than one. Mm. So I'm going to be his advocate on that one.
No, fuck her. No. Lube goes in my hole. She goes on. She loves a soapbox. Lube goes in my hole or on your arms unless otherwise directed, and definitely ask before you smear. I will take that out. I'm gonna ask before I smear in future, because I'm a smearer.
Before you what?
Before I smear the lube on the
bunch. I couldn't hear.
I was mishearing a few things before actually as well. Instead of
Did you think I was talking about money? Like don't waste money. Money is a precious commodity. Was that
no, you thought I was talking about? Never mind, I've forgotten. I'll think of it. Oh, instead of greasyisms, I heard queefyisms.
A queefyism. That's cute. Yeah, all the Chicago pigs came out for this one. Notorious DRX. Hey, girl. Ask your bottom about their hole and their preferences. Yeah. Communicate and check in during play. Wash your hands and wipe up your bottoms at the end. Yes, I fully agree with that. Stretch FF. Never assume anything. Ask and communicate. I kind of half agree with that.
What part of you doesn't agree with that?
No, I think they never assume anything. I think there's certain things, I know there's certain things that I'm not always going to ask someone like, how do you like everyone knows, start slow. It's just a given, like, I think. I mean, I always ask, like, what do you like? But I kind of know, like, I know the guys like, start slow. Of course, like, I'm not necessarily going to ask someone like, how do you like to be warmed up?
Oh, I think there's a special thing to that.
Oh, you know, are you in a, like, all the things you just said, you know, are we feeling wide, depth? Do you want to try stretch? Do you want me to go deep? Do you just want punches? Do you just want to play around in there? But there's certain things like, I kind of know how to warm someone up. Like, I generally kind of know what I'm doing with that. So that's the kind of, so I'm being nitpicky. That's the kind of thing that I will assume, you know.
I kind of think with that one though, like don't assume anything is don't assume that I will be able to fist you the same way the person who fisted you before will be. Hands are different. Things are different. Don't assume that if you watched me bottom and watched somebody absolutely destroy me, that you can do something like that to me, or like that you can get to your elbow on me the way that somebody else just did, because it may not work out. And so, like, I think that's kind of like, and you might be watching two people who are very used to playing with each other and very used to how their bodies work together. So you may, if you don't know that, like, you think, oh, this person can really do a lot of this, and then you're going to go in kind of guns blazing with it. I think maybe, like, that's a little bit, don't assume that, you know, don't assume that you're at a party that you get to play with everybody. Don't assume that just because yes. I'm there in gear means you get to touch me. Don't assume those kinds of things around it.
Well, we can save it for after the Twitter things, but I want to just flag it. How do you say no to someone when they ask to play with you, especially in like a party situation? We're going to get to that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. I think we'll get on to that, definitely. Yeah. I'll just read a few more of these out. Yeah, so 81 inches of fist, friend of the pod. When the bottom says pull out, that means get out. Not slowly pull out, not leave a finger or two in, get the fuck out and ask or wait for instruction before going back in. And that's someone with a big, if you don't know 81 inches of fist, look her up. That's a big old bucket hole. So if she's telling you to pull out, pull out. Yeah, I agree. It is, there are people that have commented back and forth and like, I'm not going to name all of them. There's other people saying like, well, a lot of times the bottom will say stop or need a break or pull out, but then actually you kind of ease a bit and then you carry on. They're actually like, oh no, actually, yeah, no, I'm enjoying it again. I like that. That does happen. And I've had people do that with me. I will say very skilled fisters. And I'm not sure if it's even worth talking about because I'm not sure I can properly articulate it to other people, but it's such a skill to be able to know the difference between stop or pull out and like, no, stop. Really what you mean is like, just give me a break for like four to 5 seconds and let me just catch my breath and do it. But in the moment, it all comes out the same, like, no, stop, stop. Time out.
I say we can develop a better language around that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I've always said, like, just come out, give me 10 seconds, give me 20 seconds, give me a minute. You can use your words. Maybe you're, see, what did you call the magical universe fish or whatever?
Cosmic fish.
The cosmic fish.
The cosmic fish. If you're at that point, I can totally understand you might not have any words. But like, if I'm at a like in this zone as a bottom of I'm not sure if I'm enjoying this or not, and I'm telling you to come out, I'm in a place where I can use my words and tell you just give me 20 seconds, personally. So like maybe endeavor for that because that's open communication. That's kind of important.
Yeah, yeah. I can see, like, in the moment that, because I would really struggle to articulate when I ever have a hand in me.
Stop it.
Like, I could literally be having a conversation, and as soon as that hand goes in, like, I couldn't tell you my own name. I just go completely nonverbal. I just groan. So the idea to be like, hello, actually, good sir, would you mind, you know, vastly pulling out for a short while before re-enter? Like, I can't do that. It's just, stop.
It literally just takes stop, come out. Give me 10
but
seconds.
That's the thing, the stop. Actually, it doesn't mean stop. It's like, just hold it. Just you know, it's...
Actually, I wouldn't... come to think of it, I wouldn't even say stop. I'd just say, come out slowly.
Mm.
Give me 10 seconds.
Yeah. But I see where people get this a bit muddled. But yeah. Bait Inside Me.
Yeah, sure.
Who's our guest on Series 2. He says... Oh, God, I've lost it now. Bottom picks the lube.
I did laugh my earbud out that the bottom picks the lube.
Why would the bottom not pick the lube?
And so the reason for that, I think partly, there's a twofold reason, like why you said, why wouldn't that ever happen? I have had somebody come over before and they did not bring their own lube. And they were like, oh, I didn't know that I should bring lube. I'm like, to get fisted, you should have your lube. It's honestly, I hate to say it, but I think it's like, it's also a safety thing. If you're going over to somebody's house and they have lube made, you don't know what's in that lube. You don't know what has been added to it. You don't know what ingredients are in it. So, like, you bring your own lube, you're responsible for your own lube. It's just, it's the same concept of keep your own drink in your own hand. And
I've had events where people have offered me lube. I'm like, oh, do you need lube? I have lube. I'm like, no, I'm not a newbie. First of all, thank you. I did bring my own lube. I pre-made my own lube, thank you. Because I know how I like it, I know what I want. I know what brand I'll use. And all the rest. I know what's gone in it. I don't know what you've put in your lube. And I don't... I don't know. And I've never been someone to kind of offer up my lube to anyone, really. I mean, very rare. I don't know. Like, you're kind of... I don't know, maybe it's towards the end of a play and oh shit, I've run out of lube. I'm like, oh, here, just have a squirt of mine or something, like a friend. But really, like, we're gonna play now, here, I have lube for you. I'm like, I wouldn't do that. That seems a bit odd to me, and I've always thought it's a bit odd when I've been in that situation.
I'll take somebody else's lube if they're offering.
Yeah. I'd take your lube.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on who it is. Yeah.
Knowing what is in it,
I suppose.
Like, you know, you're putting in there.
Yeah. But with that, like, the bottom picks the lube one, maybe, like, I've never met anybody who's like, oh, I really don't like K-Lube, can we use Crisco instead, like, as the top? I've never had them be like, no, I don't want to put that on my arm. So is that what they mean by that one? I don't know.
It's also a case of showing that you also invest in this art of fisting. Like, it's a courtesy thing. It's like, I'm not going to sponge off other people, because they buy lube, and then I just show up and I expect them to... I'm entitled enough to expect to be able to use their lube without contributing.
I'm a bit of a lube snob. I will say if someone maybe turns up that is using lube that's definitely not designed for fisting, I'll definitely be a bit of a lube snob. I'm like, really? We're using this? Like, oh, it's what... I've had someone like, oh, I use liquid silk. I use that. I'm just like, that's not... Honey,
are those
that's
people
not
dead
really designed
now?
For this at all.
Because that's a sure way to get an injury.
I killed them.
Yeah.
I killed that guy. Yeah. He came into my home with his little free sachet of liquid silk, and he thought I was going to go to the elbow on him. And I killed him. I killed him for that. Yeah.
Wow. Where did you bury him? At the construction site out the back?
Yeah, they're digging shit up all day. They don't know. No, it's nothing. This is from Butt Pirate. Butt Pirate FF. Spelt.
It's butt pirate.
But, oh, maybe it's French. But
it's German. Pirate. Pirate.
But pirate.
Butt pirate.
Pirate. But pirate. FF. Fufu.
We met him in Fort Lauderdale.
Did we?
Yes. Well, I did. At the social.
Okay, we're totally...
We talked about yoga and fisting.
Oh, okay, we're cutting this out. Yeah, no, I know you. Be clean, be sober, in brackets, enough to know what you're doing, in brackets. Be present, bring something if you're being hosted. Trim your nails. I hope that's fisting 101 for everyone. Trim your fucking nails. Have you ever, like, trimmed someone else's nails? I've done that a few times.
No. I haven't. I filed somebody else's nails, I guess. Or like...
Yeah. Trimmed them.
Yeah, I filed other people's nails.
I have actually, like, trimmed them as well. Someone. I've done that maybe twice, something. It's generally guys who...
Your housemate.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I think I trimmed your... I filed your housemate's nails when he fisted me. Because it was his first fisting experience. And I thought, let me just, like, teach while we got the opportunity. Well, she does now.
Okay, this is an interesting one. Darking Bus, who we met at Fisit, love her, she's great. Whoever is hosting should always make sure that there are refreshments ready. Fisting is a very physical activity and dehydration is quite a real possibility. I often host and make sure Powerade, Gatorade, water, and even protein shakes are available. I want to go to your little event. That sounds lovely. You had drinks available. You're obviously, we know Fist First is always, I think they kind of ran out towards the later part of the evening, but they've always got the Gatorades and beers, obviously not hydrating, but there's always refreshments available.
I usually, like, snacks wise, there's always something like salty, sweet, chocolate, like something with like a nut or whatever, or not a, like a pretzel bites, because they're little proteiny things. And people always giggle at the craft services table, but they enjoy having it too.
It's just something more, it's just something new to do with your hands, because you can't really do claw motions, so it's quite nice to just kind of, it kind of relaxes the hands, and you're like, oh, great, okay, I don't have to collapse them, I can just go, yeah, it's a little warm-up, yeah. I thought that was quite funny.
We're going to take a break now and listen to some lovely sponsors. Fist tees for fist lovers like you.
Check out the original handmade fisting t-shirt designs from cumrados.com.
Super subtle designs so you can wear them at work or at the gym without everyone realizing you're a fucking giant fist slut.
Except for your fellow fisters, of course. Think of them as a red hanky for the next generation.
Go to cumrados.com, that's cumrados.com, and use discount code SUCHFUN, all one word, for a 10% discount.
That's right, fellow piggies.
Cumrados.com.
And now it's time for another Top Toys review, where we find out exactly what all the fuss is about.
Here's what one happy customer had to say about the Mordax. I can easily enjoy some bigger toys, but when I made this purchase, I wanted to be conservative and safe because of the aggressive texture. To my delight, it was perfect. After opening myself up, it was time to play with those incredible ridges on Mordax.
As I slid this well-lubed monster into my hungry hole, I was overcome with the orgasmic sensations all those prominent ridges and folds provided. I quickly engulfed about 3/4 of the length, taking it into the entrance of that second ring.
I haven't been the most successful with wide depth, so it took some caution to advance further and a little more practice to be comfortable beyond that point. On the way back out, it pulls and tugs ever so perfectly. After just 2 or 3 sessions with this Mordax 105, I was comfortably and confidently plunging it all the way in and riding the full length with wild abandon.
Top Toys is made from 100% body-safe, platinum-cured silicone, catering for people of all levels of experience.
They offer clear, easy-to-understand sizing guides, so that you know the toy you're buying is right for you. Top Toys is also a proud, queer-owned and operated business.
Go to toptoys.com where you can shop their entire toy array, as well as fisting accessories like gloves, play sheets, X-Lube, and branded apparel.
Welcome back to Such Fun.
Zbang FF, he said not to cancel at the last minute. That's an interesting one. Time it, like flaking out, cancelling. How do you cancel and how do you not cancel?
Good. I mean, that's kind of always a tricky one. I think if you kind of are up, like, if you know, as soon as you know that it's not going to work out for you, perhaps mention that. Like, don't wait until the last moment if you know that it isn't going to be a thing. I also, like, I oftentimes don't always completely cancel on somebody necessarily unless, like, something really happens. Like, I am ill, my car broke down, like whatever else. I really try not to, but like if you're playing with Verse Boys and someone's like, oh, I can't get clean tonight, okay, well, like, then go top. Like, you still have hands, like, so then you get to be the big bad top tonight and your other person gets to be the big bad bottom then, if you're playing with Verse people. Like, I get it when it's not always, like, if you're, you know, if you're a total top and the person you're playing with can't you know, can't clean out, then they have to cancel the last minute. Like, I get that. But sometimes clean outs don't work out, or you do that checkout. Like, so I can't say never cancel at the last minute because things happen, but like, definitely give as much of a heads up as you can sort of ahead of time. But like,
I had to cancel. I had fist plans last night. I've just fractured my toe. And I completely, like, I mean, I put it on socials and stuff because I'm an attention whore. And I just wanted sympathy from strangers on the internet. But the amount of people that as soon as I posted a photo of me and Amy, they were like, oh, finally you ruptured your colon. And I think some of them were very serious. And I was like, what do you think I'm doing? I'm not doing half the things you think I'm doing. I'm very careful. No, I'm like, it's so banal. It's the most dark. Like, it just fucking skidded on my bedding and crashed into my fucking wall electric wall heater. And I could feel the crunch in my toe. I know. It's ow. I completely forgot to message the guy I was meant to play with. And I just kind of assumed that everyone knew, because I'm getting messages from people, like, oh my God, what happened? Like, God, what the fuck did you do? So I just assumed, like, because he's online, you know, I thought, oh, he'll know as well. And he was like, yeah, so we're still meeting later. I was like, oh, no, 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 no. I can send you a photo of the discharge letter so you know I'm not bullshitting.
Well, okay, people have asked me, like, how do you become friends with the people that you play with? I really don't know how to do that. And it's like, well, have you tried? And I don't mean to say that, like, kind of snidely, but, like, have you tried? Not necessarily. And I get it. Like, sometimes it's like, not everybody can be friends with the people. Maybe it ruins your fantasy. It's not quite your sexual thing. Like, I love that I get to do it with people that I'm very close with. I love that I get to do it with strangers. I love that I get to do it with people all over the world. Like, fisting's great, right? We get to do it all over the place. But with that, like, people have said, how do you become more friendly with it? And, like, maybe, like, a hookup is one thing, but, like, maybe you guys had plans and the clean out didn't work out. Maybe you have a conversation of, like, hey, I can't get clean tonight. Hey, I can't really either. You want to go grab a drink? Would you like to go grab dinner? I still had this time set aside of, like, this was my evening tonight. It's a rare occasion for me where it's, like, my plans change and then I'll hop online and try to find something real quick. It's, like, I usually know, like, if the plans change, the plans changed. If the person still wants to hang out, we can do something. If I haven't cleaned out yet, well, too bad, I'm not going to. If I have, well, I've got toys. Like, you know. So, but people are different.
Yeah,
like,
I've had it. This is the benefit of playing with friends. Not even necessarily close friends, just kind of regular playmates as well. Like, if you can't, and sometimes I have done it day of, or even like they're here in the apartment, like, I'm sorry, this clean out is just not going according to plan. And it's at the point now where, like, even if I get clean, I'm going to be so sore. Like, do you want to just get takeaway? No, like, get out of my house. Like, you know, like, look, do you want to do something else? I go, yeah, sure, of course.
You want to come play video games and order Chinese? Like,
yeah.
And maybe you'll get to know people a bit, or just talk about what are you doing for your clean out? Maybe, like, we can help each other. Like, have a conversation, learn from each other.
Yeah. On the flip side, I have had certain people that are now, like, blacklisted for me because they flaked, not once, but twice. Like, we've made plans. We're like, yeah, tomorrow or like this afternoon. And it's like, hey, so are you coming? I'm just checking in. Crickets. And I'm probably very, some people, if you do that once to them and they think like that, that's it. You're blocked. I'll give someone a sec because something crazy might have come up. You never know. I know it's happened to me before. But if it's happened twice, I'm like, girl, no, mess. And I've done that with a few people. I have just, like, you know what?
Two chances is a good idea, right?
Like, you know, they say, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. It's like, I'm not gonna do this again. There's sort of people, it's like, oh, I had a great time with them. Great, I'm glad you did. Like, for me, it's, sorry, I'm not putting myself out for that kind of disappointment for a third time.
I think the central point is play with your friends. Like this has come up multiple times now in this over this episode. Playing with your friends is something that goes hand in hand with fisting. Like, fisting and friends, it's...
Well, not everyone has that luxury. This is what I hear a lot from people. They don't have a network of people.
That is true.
They don't. And that's a good point. And that's why I prefaced that earlier when I said that being in Chicago, I am very lucky because I do have a plethora of people to play around. But there are people who listen to this podcast all over the world, all over the country, who they might be the only one in their town, the only one in their city, the only one in their entire 200,000 mile, like wherever. It's like they don't have that luxury of getting to play with friends. They don't have that luxury. And that's why we have these conversations about etiquette and how to show up and how to be an advocate for yourself, because unfortunately we don't get that. But like, or, you know, the public events, like when people might only ever get to play one time a year when they get to go to, you know, Palm Springs for this weekend or to Darklands for that weekend. Like they, that might, we are very lucky. And so I don't want to sound like this is easy for everyone to be able to find and have a group of friends. Location is a big part of it, but like,
that's true.
And not to be like, but if you're not happy where you're living and you're not happy with perhaps your sex life and your, like, what's going on, change it. Think if you're able to try, like, try a new city, try something, try to go where people, because there's nothing that's been more freeing than finding people who are like me with that. And we're very lucky in the city. You live in, you know, you both live in cities where also fisting is a prevalent thing that we can find enough people to do it with. And I think it's important not to lose sight of that.
White privilege.
But I believe what you were going to ask, and this is something I think everybody really struggles with, is how to say no to somebody you don't care to play with, especially if you're in a public setting. And
yes. Yes.
I'm at a loss just like anybody else is with this, I think. It's, again, like, being honest, being your own advocate, and, like, not, you know, not doing that. But also, like, it's a responsibility on the other side of it, too, that, like, you could also be a person that somebody says no to at a party, right? And understanding that, that, like, if they say no, I don't care to, or if they're not really showing interest in you, or if you've gone up to them three times and said, hey, are you next? And no, I'm not, you know, I'm on a break right now. I'm going to go get a water. Like, if they don't seem interested in it, like, perhaps don't pursue it further then. Like Jazz was saying about, you mentioned this already, the person who says, oh, yeah, like, you're on my dance card later tonight. And you told me that you expressed no interest in and wanting to play with this person. So, like, how do you handle that? What's your... Because I don't know either. Like, I don't know the right answers for this one.
I freak out, and I'm confrontation avoidant, like most gays, I think.
In the bushes.
And I don't know. I really don't. I hide.
Be gay, do like, crime.
I hide and I lie. Like a good gay, I hide and I lie. And so, like, be gay, do crime. I don't have a good answer for this either. I wish I did. What I would like in my personal little utopia is to be able to look that person in the eye and say, I'm not feeling, or I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling anything with you. It doesn't mean it's forever. Just like right now, it's not on. I'm not. Yeah.
So what's your fear of the response then of saying that? Are you afraid of how they might are you afraid of hurting their feeling, or are you afraid of?
I'm mostly afraid of how it'll make me feel if they react badly, and how my reputation, whether I have much of a reputation, I'm not sure. But how that might look. And that is something that's it's not really in line with my values. My values are not about having a great reputation. My values are about being honest, saying what I want and what I don't want. So I think, you know, that kind of worry that it might affect a reputation, or like people might talk. Of course people talk, and you can't control that. And so that's a shit value to have. It's a shit value to by which to measure yourself. Are people talking badly about you because of something you said to someone, like rejecting someone, you know? So I guess the answer there is hold true to your honesty, to your value of honesty. And maybe you don't, okay, like when it comes to consent, you don't need to give a reason. But, you know, a little clarification or a chat or something friendly is usually enough in these situations, I find. Like, if I'm at a fisting party with you, I'll have a drink with you. It says nothing about whether I'm a fist with you. we'll gauge while we're drinking whether we want to actually fist together. And for me, sometimes it'll be a no, and I will be friendly as fuck in spending time with you and talking about fisting and having a great time. And then when I want to go and play with someone, I'm going to go and do that. And in that case, I don't like that this is the word that comes to me, but I feel a bit like a hunter rather than the hunted. I don't want to be hunted. I want to decide who I want to go and play with. And when I want to do that, I'm going to go and ask them. Sometimes I'll have someone come and ask me, and sometimes I'll like them and we'll go and do it. Like all potential circumstances, all potential, I forget where I'm going with this. But to connect with somebody doesn't mean you need to fist with them.
No, not necessarily. Not at all. But I definitely get that too. Like you're let them down easy, like not easy, but I think fisting is for everyone. Like I said, everybody's at an event and they all want to play, and everyone wants hands and butts. And so I do definitely understand that of where, like, it's not that I worry about reputation, but like, I've tried to be as much as I can be inclusive to everyone in the space, in on all experience levels, on all body types, on all everything. Like, be inclusive of those around you. But at events like that, there's other people to play with too. There is all of that. And I think, I don't exactly. think it's easy for anybody to.
And so you want to maximize the other person's ability.
Yeah, no. Maximize the other person's ability to do that too, you know, and you know, perhaps like you do pull them aside and just say, you know, I'm not feeling it. I appreciate it. I love seeing you here, but no, thank you. You know, or saying, you know, I'll let you know when I'd like to, you know, versus like, you know, yeah. like you said, yeah. you want to go up to them, but you said like, that's you said to them, like, you don't want to be hunted. You want to go up and say, I'd like to play with you. Well, then you are the hunter and somebody else is being hunted. Like, somebody always has to be the one asking.
That's correct.
So you could get that response.
Which makes this whole thing yeah. a fallacy. Like, there's a feeling there, regardless.
You say, hey, I'd love for you, you know, to play with you. And they say, no, thank you. I'm not feeling it right now. Like, you also have to be okay with that, getting that response back, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And maybe that takes practice, like to get rejected. Maybe that's I don't know if that's a practice thing. It's an inner setting kind of thing. BBG, what do you do in such situations?
No one's ever said no to me. It's just this raw animal magnetism that I'm just.
No one's ever said no to me.
No, but I don't think I've ever had anyone outright go, no. Not you. I don't recall. If they have, I've definitely repressed it.
You definitely have. You can be deadpan. You can be super fucking direct.
Can I? Yes.
No.
To who?
To me?
Whom? To whom are you?
To your mother?
What have I done to you? Give an example.
I can't think of one right now.
Well, there you go. It's bullshit.
It's not bullshit. There
you go. I'm just very British about things sometimes. We just... You know, just say it how it is. There's people I've absolutely expressed interest in, and they've not necessarily gone like, no, not you. I don't think. If they have, I've repressed the memory because it was too scarring. But there's people I know for a fact like don't want it. But there's people that are very friendly with me at events. I think three or four top of my head. They always say hello to me when I hang out, either just because they know me from online or whatever. But they've never given any indication they want to play with me at all. And that's absolutely fine. I just, you know, I know where I stand. I think with it, when I've had it, the few times where someone's really approached me, I think I always say like, oh, I'm just not really feeling it right now. That's my go-to phrase. But I'll always like interact. I'll be like, hi, yeah, I'm good. How are you having fun? Good. You know, like, yeah, so are you free? I'm like, no, I'm good right now, but you have a good night. It's generally, you know, words to that effect. It's always that. But I'll always try and be nice to people as well. I think like you were saying about reputation and stuff, I think the back of my mind, there is always like, if we're in a fisting space, not just a kink event, we're in a fisting space, like generally now, our, you know, Z level of fame, there's going to be a few people there that know me, know you, you know. So I'm always aware, like, well, I don't want to be a cunt. People go, oh my God, like, I was at a party and like BBG was such a cunt to me or whatever, or was horrible. So I don't want to be that.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I kind of rejig my reputation comment earlier?
Do you have an example of me being rude and deadpan?
No, I haven't thought of it. You're not on my mind right now. I'm thinking about how it's more importantly, it is a, and this is what you I think mean. It's about, in a party situation, holding the space for people to feel relaxed and respected. And if you can do that while turning someone down, I think that is absolutely the key, because then you allow them to maximize their pleasure and their experience while you are also maximizing your own. And neither of you are wasting time dwelling on this incompatibility.
Well, I'll boil that point down to its lowest common denominator. I think it's just not embarrassing anyone.
Yeah.
It's not costing anyone else's dignity.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to spare the other person's dignity as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that's the least anyone can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think in all aspects of life, really. Especially this. You know, we're a small community. Well, we're getting bigger and bigger all the time. But I think we can at least just be civil to each other.
Yeah, we've gone on a long time. Holy shit! And I feel like I wanna cover more, but
we need to wrap this up.
Greasy 20. Any last thoughts, and also anything else you want our listeners to know?
Any grievances you want to
have? Any grievances I want to? No, I just think I really think that, like, the bottom line between all of it is, be like, we talked about code of conduct, we talked about etiquette, we talked about space, we talked all about that. And what does it all really boil down to is just being respectful and kind to the people that you're sharing a space with. And, you know, Jazz, you said to me one time too, and I think this is important to remember, you're here, you're already part of the club. Like, you're already in it. Like, whether or not you take doubles, whether or not you take you prolapse, whether or not you take punchy or whatever else, like, if you're into watching fisting, you're a fister. Like, yay. Like, you're a part of the club. Everybody's on their own journey with it. And so, like, hold your space. Like you said, hold space for people in public events. Advocate for what you want or what you need for yourself, and not being afraid to say, this is not working for me, or this isn't it. Or, much to BBG's point, say, I really enjoyed that. What you did there when I breathed that way and you felt, did you feel my stomach let go there? That meant that you were doing a good job. Like, when you feel me and that, like, yes, give that feedback, give that to them. You know, like, I think it all goes communication, respect, right? And we're all here for one reason, buttholes. that's why we do it. We just love buttholes. It's been a pleasure, boys. Thank you. Absolutely. Come back for part two.
Greasy 20, it's been lovely having you on. I hope we get to do this again.
Thank you both.
Woo! Yeah, we love you.
Love you
too.
Thank
you for coming on to this.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thing we do. Okay, bye. Happy fisting.
And to everybody out there, happy fisting.